Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome to another News and Focus program. It is 7:57 a.m., last day of the month of November, and I've got an article from the Wall Street Journal, the online Wall Street Journal version, entitled Pope Francis Prays in Mosque in Show of Commitment to Christian-Muslim Relationships. The Pontiff meets Orthodox Christian Church's spiritual leader on a three-day trip to Turkey. Pope Francis further demonstrated his commitment to improving relations between Christians and Muslims on Saturday as he prayed in Istanbul's historic Blue Mosque and visited the Hagia Sophia, two powerful symbols of Muslim and Christian faiths. On the second of the three-day trip to Turkey, the pontiff removed his shoes before entering the mosque, known as the Blue Mosque for the blue tiles embellishing its walls. After a tour of the cavernous 17th century mosque, he stood alongside Istanbul's Grand Mutif Yara, that's Y-A-R-A-N, facing in the direction of Mecca, and bowed his head in a long prayer. The move was an important public demonstration of Pope Francis's commitment to Christian-Muslim dialogue. Some have raised questions as to whether such dialogue is fruitful, given the persecution of Christians by Islamic extremists. On Friday, the Pope demanded that all religions enjoy the same rights, a veiled reference to the problems that Christians still suffer in Turkey, where about 99% of the population is Muslim. Christian communities complain that they struggle to gain permits to build or refurbish buildings and say the government has been slow to follow through on promise to return properties confiscated decades ago. But the pontiff also said dialogue can help bring an end to all forms of fundamentalism and terrorism. In turn, during his meeting with the Pope, Turkish president denounced discrimination and violence suffered by Muslims in the West. Isn't this amazing? What a joke. Maybe someone can be more articulate. The Pope speaks to the degree to which Christians are being persecuted, and the Turkish president speaks to the degree to which discrimination and violence suffered by Muslims in the West. I just want somebody to email me one example of a Christian beheading a Muslim. Just one. Just one in the 21st century. Just one in the 20th century. Just one in the 19th century. The double standard is remarkable. It's an indication of the sin problem. It's an indication of a global enemy called Satan. It's an indication of the degree to which deception is occurring globally. And we really shouldn't be surprised. The pontiff is not a religious leader. He's a political leader. His concern is not for the name of Christ. His concern is not for making disciples in all nations. His concern is not for the proclamation of the gospel, the transforming power of the gospel. He's trying to have a dialogue. Muslims are beheading Christians and he's having a dialogue. This is the problem. This is the degree to which they laugh at us. They scoff at us. They laugh behind our backs. We are ignorant idiots from their perspective. Totally oblivious to the degree to which the Muslims have a global agenda that does not include Christians. They are not interested in having a dialogue with us. They will placate Pope visits. They will entertain these men as though they are legitimate religious leaders while simultaneously doing everything they can to promote Islam and to persecute Christians, on living just on the edge, doing just what they can get by with, without too much public outcry. I mean, they don't want to be quite like ISIS in Iraq, so it's just one step removed from that. And you have to ask yourself, since the Pope is supposed to be the global leader of Christianity, would the Apostle Paul do anything like this? Think about what you know about your Bible, and do you get any sense that God calls King David to go and have a dialogue with the idolaters? Or let's think about Mount Carmel, and let's think about Elijah and the prophets of Baal. Do you get any sense, after the fire comes down from heaven and consumes the sacrifice that Elijah has put together, do you get any sense that after that they're going to have a dialogue, that the worshipers of Baal and the worshipers of Jehovah, do you get any sense that they need to come together and walk through their religious sites and create photo ops and PR releases, news articles? The Pontiff's prayer in the Blue Mosque on Saturday replicated one by Pope Benedict the 16th there in 2006. Although the circumstances were far different, Pope Benedict's moment of prayer came in the wake of protest and anger in many Muslim countries, including Turkey, over a speech he gave that appeared to link Islam and violence. Of course, they are to be linked. Pope Francis is a kind, elderly gentleman. That's no legitimate commitment to the proclamation of the gospel or disciple making. This is the Pope who's placating people on every possible side. He might as well be in California saying something like, "Why can't we all just get along?" It's absurd. Some locals welcome Pope Francis. "It's good that he came to a Muslim country," said Ferret, a 54-year-old owner of a shop near the mosque, who said he was worried about the advance of Islamic extremists in neighboring countries. "We need more of these visits in these chaotic times." Is that really what we need? Perhaps we need Muslims to repent. Another shopkeeper said he worried about growing Islamophobia in the West. "There's a slandering campaign against Muslims." Imagine that. There's a slandering campaign against Muslims. Why don't we commit to the idea that we'll stop slandering when you stop beheading? "There is fear. They're afraid of us trying to take over while most of us are just trying to make a living." I believe that to be true. I think that most of them are just idolaters whose eyes have been blinded by the God of this world, and they get up every day and they just kind of go through the motions, much like nominal Christians all over America. After visiting the Blue Mosque, Pope Francis visited the Sophia, a Christian church, for 9 centuries before being transformed into a mosque in the 15th century. The Sophia is today a Muslim, but it was for centuries the main seat of an Eastern Orthodox church, and it still remains highly symbolic in a country where Christians face pressure. During his tour of the Sophia, the Muslim call to prayer was heard outside. The Pope wrote 2 dedications, one in Greek and the other in Latin, a citation of a psalm in the guest book. The Pope ended the day with a meeting with the Patriarch Bartholomew I of Constantinople, the spiritual leader of 300 million members of the Orthodox Christian Church, where he expressed hopes for greater unity amongst Christians. And we do want to speak to that for just a moment. Christ clearly communicates a call for unity in John 17, but the question that we must ask ourselves anytime we're wrestling with the call to unity is, to what degree are we compromising in order to achieve the unity? Pope Francis called for Christian churches to overcome misunderstandings, divisions, and disagreements, and to be a credible sign of unity and peace. The Patriarch Bartholomew, in turn, said the Pope's strong support for Christian unity could help advance the restoration of full communion between our churches. The two leaders recited the Lord's Prayer together. The Eastern churches and the Roman Catholic Church split nearly 1,000 years ago, and full reunion of the two is unlikely. However, relations have warmed notably in recent years. Pope Benedict XVI was very big on dialogue between the Orthodox and the Catholics as a bulwark against the rising tide of secularism. The president of Assumption College, a Roman Catholic college, said in Massachusetts, Francis is picking up where he left off. So what are we to make of all this? Well, first, let's remember that the Pope doesn't speak for Christianity. He speaks for a cultic form of Christianity at best. No doubt within the Roman Catholic Church, there are men and women who are born-again believers, but the great masses of them are utterly deceived by the God of this world, who has blinded their eyes into a religion rather than true Christianity. It's quite unfortunate. It's sad. We should pray for the Pope that he would repent and believe the gospel if he's not saved. If he is saved, we should pray that he would return the Catholic Church to a true understanding of the grace of God, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, salvation by grace and grace alone. Those are the focuses of our prayers during the times that we would pray for Roman Catholics all over the world to hear the gospel and believe the truth. Those are my thoughts. What are yours? Have a great day.